Say to him, Father, thank you. Jesus, we thank you. In our unfaithfulness, you still remain faithful. In our unrighteousness, you still remain righteous. You have not changed. Give him thanks and praise. Give him glory and honor. Give him all adoration. Magnify his name. Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you. King of glory, thank you. Spirit of the living God, we thank you. Blessed and blessed and blessed be your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Your amen is weak.
Amen.
In Jesus' marvelous name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
The last day is everybody's day. The last day is everybody's day. And tonight is the last day. It's the last night. Tonight, the Lord will visit you.
Amen.
Tonight, the Lord will answer you.
Amen.
Tonight, the Lord will rain his blessings upon you.
Amen.
Tonight, the Lord will send his testimony to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No one here present, on ground or online, will lack testimonies.
Amen.
In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so shall it be.
Amen.
In Jesus' marvelous name.
Amen.
Somebody's by your side smiling. Make sure you welcome them with a smile. 7 people minimum tonight. Welcome your neighbor with a smile tonight. Tell your neighbor tonight is your night. It's your night of testimonies. It's your night of breakthroughs. It's your night of turnaround. Celebrate somebody tonight. And if you have done that, put your hands together. Please be seated comfortably. Please let's be reminded, prophetic theme for the month of September, showers of blessings. And the teaching series that we have been looking at from Wednesday is unveiling the blessedness embedded in praise. And this will be part 3 of it. Unveiling the blessedness embedded in praise. And this will be part 3. Now, our anchor scripture for the month, let's take a look at it again, is Psalm 67, verses 5 to 7. Psalm 67, verses 5 to 7. It said, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And that connotes that effective praise is not just for when things have happened. Effective praise is also for to make things happen. Effective praise is to make things happen. We praise God to bring to pass what is written while disregarding what is happening. We praise God to bring to pass what is written while disregarding what is happening. Now, take note. Praise focuses on the effectiveness or efficiency of what is written over and above the deceitfulness of what is happening. Faith focuses on the effectiveness and efficiency of what is written over and above the deceitfulness of what is happening. What is written is effective because it will not change. What is written is efficient because it will not change. What is happening is temporal and can be manipulated because it can change. Glory to God. Is somebody understanding what God is saying? Psalm 56 and verse 4. This is the effectiveness and efficiency of what is written. In God, I will praise what is written. In God, I will put my trust in what is written. I will not fear what is happening can do unto me. Why? Because what is written has capacity to change what is happening. I trust God more for what he has said over and above what the enemy is doing. Celebrating what God has said will put an end to all the temporary lies of the enemy. Verse 10, he repeated it again. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. What does that mean? What is happening is temporary and is subject to change by what is written. Therefore, we engage praise to celebrate what is happened, what is written, and not what is happening. We engage praise to the mystery of praise to celebrate what is written over and above what is happening. Now, a child does not allow what their mates say about in school, about their school fees. Well, they say everybody that has not paid school fees come out. It may come out because they said if you have not paid, come out. But the child is not bothered because the father already told her, no, you know what, tomorrow I'm coming to pay. Even if the father does not have it in his pocket, he has to look for it. Why? Because the child is depending on what the father said. My daddy cannot lie. My father cannot lie. So he's relying on the word of the father over and above the mockery of the students. The mockery of the students will end when the father shows up to pay. What is written supersedes what is happening. Very quickly. That makes praise a powerful weapon. So we celebrate what is written over and above what is happening. And that makes praise a powerful weapon. Very quickly, what is in praise? What is it that we celebrate in praise? And we're going to look at just one tonight. Last week we looked at, on Wednesday we looked at seven. Yesterday, how many did we look at? We look at one. Let's look at another one tonight. Vengeance is in praise. Tell your neighbor, vengeance is in praise. When our praise ascends to heaven, the avenger descends on the earth. When our praise ascends to heaven, the avenger descends on the earth. Take note. One characteristic of the enemy is consistency. He doesn't give up. The characteristic, one very important characteristic that we need to take note of the enemy is consistency. In soccer, the next opponent, the manager, both managers are watching the videos of their next opponent to take note of their strengths and their weaknesses in order to counter it. They are taking notes. They are watching it. The managers are both watching, but the managers are both thinking of how to change what the manager, because he knows his other opponent is also watching and is taking note of their weaknesses and strengths in order to know what to do next. It is important for us, if we must win this battle, to take note of the strength of the enemy in order to counter his strength. Glory to God. And one strength of the enemy is that the enemy does not give up. Job 1:7. Bible speaking, it said, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. That's my ministry. I don't get tired. I keep going back and forth, to and fro, and I don't get tired doing it. I am consistent doing it. And then later, Job verse 2 again, in verses 1 to 2, Again, the Bible says again, there was a day when the sons of God again gathered to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came again also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence cometh thou? And Satan answered and said, and answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. He's consistent doing it. He does not give up doing it. Consistency is part of his nature. As a matter of fact, he went to Jesus. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And then Jesus countered him. And then he kept going and kept coming after Jesus. Okay, this is the next one. Have you seen what is going on here? This is everything that Jesus, that God has given all these things to me. Bow down to me and I will give them to you. And Jesus will counter him again. And after he did all and tried all, Luke chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. In other words, I'm coming back. I am consistent. If he will come back to Jesus, he will come back to you. I am consistent. This is my ministry. I will not give up on it. His consistency, I say here, is top-notch. As a result, if the enemy is not stopped, it will not stop. Until the enemy is stopped, the enemy will not stop. Until he is stopped, it will not stop. Isaiah 61 and verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. There is a day of vengeance and that day is now. Amen. Via praise, that day is now. Amen. High praises invokes vengeance in the camp of the enemy. Psalm 149, verses 6 to 7. It says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. To do what? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. Praiseful people, listen to me very carefully. Praiseful people don't revenge. God avenges them. Praiseful, revenging is simply saying, for what these people have done to me, Lord, I will take care of them. You take care of them, you don't know what manner of strength they have gathered again. Praiseful people don't revenge, God avenges them. And how does he do it? God avenges them in praise. When our praise goes up, his vengeance comes down. David the praiser was busy celebrating his master. And then someone thought he was crazy. Someone in his household thought this is not normal. 2 Samuel 6, 14 to 16. The Bible said, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. Because that's not normal with kings. She was born in a royal family. She knows how the royal family works. But David broke the royal family rules by praising God. And so she despised him. And then David returned to bless
his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, and as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself." The Bible says she despised him, but rather than the king punishing her, because the king had every right to punish her, he's the king. He had every right to punish her, but the king left him in the hands of the King of Kings. Let the King of Kings take care of him. It is very dangerous to despise somebody that is a praiser of God. And you don't know praisers of God. Despising them may be killing yourself. Despising praisers of God may be suicide mission. David kept silent. The only thing that David did was to, it's me you are talking to like that. Well, I'm praising the one that removed your father and put me there. That's what I'm doing. I'm simply praising the one that took your father off and put me there. But look at what the King of Kings that David handed everything over did. Verse 21 to 22. And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before your father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord." In other words, I will do this again. Verse 22. "And I will yet be more vile than this. And when I'm doing it again, in fact, not only will I take off my robe, I will take off everything and praise God. And I will be base in my own sight and of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of." In other words, the maid servants that you think are looking at me, of them, I will be honored. They are looking at me like, we've never seen a king do this before. Sir, thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for the example you are giving us. But in your own heart, you are looking at something else. You are thinking something else. These people are praising me for what I'm doing. You are thinking something else. And he said, "Of them shall I had honor." Verse 23. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death." You will not be cursed.
Amen.
Never despise a praiseful man. We engage praise to bring the God of vengeance into our lives to avenge us. Psalm 94, verses 1 to 5. "O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself." How will he show himself when we engage praise? He said, "Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud." The proud like Michal, who thinks it is shame to praise you. That is pride. She thinks it is vain to praise you. Oh Lord God, Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? Verse 4. "How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage." When he shows, he make a show of all our enemies, disgracing them. He said, "Oh Lord God, show yourself." What will you do what will he do when he shows himself? He makes a show of all our enemies. All of your enemies will be disgraced this time. Listen to me very carefully. If vengeance is not executed quickly, look at what happens. If vengeance is not executed quickly, look at what happens. Number one, we are in danger of missing God's plan for our lives.
If vengeance is not executed quickly, we are in danger of missing God's plan for our lives. All the enemy wants is for us to miss God's plan for our lives. And missing God's plan for our lives means that we have missed our lives. It means we are not living. We are already dead. Living dead because we are not fulfilling God's plan for our lives. So he said in Isaiah 63 and verse 4, "For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." When God's vengeance is unleashed, it enforces God's plan on our lives. When God's vengeance is unleashed, it enforces God's plan on our lives. When our praises goes up, he unleashes his vengeance. Zephaniah 3, 17 to 20. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." And then he said, "I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden." He said, "Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. And I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame." Amen. That's not all. He said, "At that time, I will bring you again. Even in the time that I gather you, I will now give you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, said the Lord. When your praise comes to me," this is what that scripture is saying, "when your praise comes to me, I will cut off your enemies and reset your destiny." Amen. I will cut off your enemies and reset your destiny. You know, when something is going wrong, when your computer is going crazy and all that, you call somebody to take care of it, and then all they probably need to do is to, they will say, "I will reset it." When your phone is acting weird, they say, "I will reset it." Reset it to what? Sometimes they have to reset it to factory level from the time that it was done. And some people's destiny will be reset to factory level. That is God's original plan. It will be reset to it for it to come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is what this praise will do for you. In this service, as your praise goes up, vengeance is coming down for you. I said, as your praise goes up, vengeance is coming down for you. As your praise goes up, vengeance is coming down for you. The reason you were defeated is because you couldn't handle them. So if you want revenge, they can beat you again. You couldn't handle them in the first instance, in the first place. It's possible you cannot handle them now because they have mastered you. But when it is vengeance, the one that avenges you says, "Stay back. Don't worry. Let me take care of it." And then he comes and says, "Now, both of you say you want to, or three of you say you want to fight this guy. Now, three of you begin to fight yourselves." And that is, the one that they want to fight does not need to shoot an arrow. They fight themselves and kill themselves. That will be the portion of your enemies. I said that will be the portion of your enemies. That will be the portion of your enemies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be the portion of your enemies. Somebody that believes it, rise up on your feet tonight. You are ready to praise him tonight? Rise up tonight, because this praise will set you free. This praise will set calamity in the camp of your enemies. This praise will release vengeance in the camp of your enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ, your season of fighting is finally over. The King of Glory will fight on your behalf. God's servant, Bishop David Ekpo, was in his house praising God. And then he didn't know that there were people gathered to kill him. They said, in Rajoba in those days, this guy, we don't understand, let's just kill him so that this thing can stop. He didn't know. He was in his house celebrating Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the chairman of the camp, of the gathering, his first son, all of a sudden, headache, fell down, died. And they said, okay, maybe that's just a coincidence. Second son, headache, fell down, died. Everybody took off. Everybody said, I cannot be part of this one. Everybody took off. The one that said that we finance everything, all of a sudden, bank came for him and landed in the prison. It was inside the prison, as he was speaking, that one of the people, one of members of the commission, heard him and knew that, you are fighting a dead cause. You are fighting God. You are fighting, this man is fighting God because he's a praiser of God. He's a praiser of God. People fighting praisers are fighting God. And God is their undeniable defender. In most cases, they don't even know who is fighting them. In most cases, the most dangerous one is that they will be praying for the ones fighting them. But God is saying, you don't know what I'm doing for you. Don't pray. You are praying for him, but it won't work. It won't work because I know what they are doing. You don't know. I know. If I show you, rather than praying for them, you'll be cursing them. And I don't want them to look at you like a devil. I avenge praisers. Please be careful who you attack, because you don't know their relationship with God. You don't know their relationship with God. It may be one person in church that you see as irrelevant. You don't know their dangerous relationship with God. The moment you begin to attack them, that moment you see that nothing works for you again. Why? Because their avenger is the one that is avenging them. They don't even know. As a matter of fact, you are seeing them, you are saying, oh, my sister, how you doing? You okay, my sister? Everything okay, my sister? And because they don't know, it's a free heart. They have a pure heart for everybody. They are fist bumping you. They are praying for you in their closet. You are trying to attack them in your own closet. But because of their praiseful manner, God avenges them. Be careful. Be careful. And it's the same thing for you, because don't have anybody in your heart. As you are praising God, He raises an army against anyone that is against you. As you are praising him from your heart, you may think you don't have enemies, but the person sitting next to you may be your enemy. As a matter of fact, people from your own household may be your enemies. And as you are praising him, he's silencing them. All of your enemies will be silenced tonight. Is choir ready now? Is choir ready now? Glory to the name of the Lord. Come on now, let's praise him tonight.
Come, let's praise the Lord.
Come, let's praise the Lord.
Now, so happening.